Welcome to the Round 21 Supercoach Coach podcast, and this week we're joined by a special guest, Dunny. Welcome back to the show, mate.
Thanks, Marcus. Thanks for having me back, guys.
And of course, Mark is, or FB Donkey, is here to join us as per usual.
Did you say Round 21? Wow, this season's gone through pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. And even better news, Mark. We're heading into Round 21, and we're still the number one ranked league in the competition.
That's pretty epic. 1,300 points clear at the moment. It's been a pretty tight battle at the top. First and fourth leagues at the moment overall. 3 weeks to go. Yeah, hopefully we can hold on because my team's going shit. So just going for the whole team thing.
Yeah, that's right. We're looking for a bit more of a consolation prize. Our team's been sliding a little bit. Dunny, how's your team been going? Hopefully a little bit better than ours. How'd you score this week?
My team hasn't been going brilliantly this season, but I think as I told the listeners last time I was on, that was due to some pretty poor decisions at the start of the year. I managed to get 2,442 this week.
Jesus, killed me.
It wasn't. I had a couple of poor scorers in there, but pretty happy with guys like Rory Sloan, who I brought in when Ablett went down with his 172. So that was quite nice. Barlow with his 132. That certainly helped me out.
Nice one. I had my, I think it's third crap week in a row. I finally pushed to the top 500 a few weeks ago, and I've just blown out ever since then. Andrew Walker's injury really caused me a lot of pain in the end. Anyway, I've dropped to 1,607th overall. 2,334 on the weekend, so a fair bit off the pace. Just limping through at the moment. Yeah, my gun's just not firing. Stevie J, pretty painful on the weekend to watch. Yeah, getting pretty sick of him. Pavlich, just 55. Imagine if he had kicked that goal at the end, it would have shattered Marcus's dreams, but added to my Supercoach score. Yeah, did all right. Did okay in my important league finals. Lucky in a couple of them, just played other shit teams. But yeah, I'm not too confident at the moment. How'd you go, Marcus?
Yeah, not great either, mate. 22.94, so really, really quite poor. I had Vice on Selwood, 128, and could have taken him, but I was trying to win an unlikely league game in a big cash league, so put the captaincy on Dangerfield. Yep, Robertson had played two games as a tagger, and he came back into the side, and I thought Dangerfield will run rings around him. I think Fife scored 143 against Robertson, but not to be. Dangerfield even got injured in the last quarter and so didn't even get to play the game out. So it was panned out pretty terribly. And
in a 100-point win, like if you had said at the start, Adelaide will win by 100 points, you would have taken Danger for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was a decent gamble, I think, but yeah, didn't quite pay off. And
should have gone big Sammy Jacobs, man.
Yeah, 164. So that was a real kick in the guts. It was a really painful weekend of Supercoach. Hopefully better things to come this week. Hibbard will be back, but Ruffett already confirmed out, and Johnson may be out for my team. So things are looking a bit shaky, and I'm out to now 479th. So I am going to be devastated if I don't make the top 500 this year. Absolutely devastated. So I've got three weeks to salvage something.
The guy that you played in the final on the weekend, he messaged me and said, nah, you're gone.
Yeah, the team's struggling a little bit. Hearn started to put in poor ones. Hibbard's
yes!
been out.
Yes!
Steve Johnson fell to pits, and really the killer is if I picked Rewalt instead of Wingard, I think I'd be in the top 100 right as we speak. But that was a key decision that really, really cost me. Wingard 60s every week's just been god awful. So hopefully the team can conjure up something a little bit better. Sick of talking about the team in such a negative light, but as always, Mark, going to try and keep a positive frame of mind heading into the next week. So we'll head into some questions and hope to be able to help you guys out who are in must-win league game this week. And I'm one of those people. So hopefully you two can help me out. First question is from Adrian Richardson, and it comes from Facebook. And he's asking whether or not Stevie J is a jerk, because he thinks he is. Look, he's a chance to miss this week. He had some scans today, pulled up sore with his foot after the tag from Crowley, and there's a good chance to miss this week. So what do you guys reckon? What do you reckon we should do with Steve Johnson?
I don't reckon he's a jerk. I reckon he got picked on massively on the weekend, and I didn't think it was a good look for the game that they could do that to a player. I know they got under his skin and stuff, but it just didn't seem right that you could have three or four guys just fighting with him the entire game. So don't think he's a jerk from the weekend, but oh my God, he will not be entering anywhere near my Supercoach team ever again after the pain that he has caused me this year.
Yeah, I think you're right, mate. I think he's been worked out, I guess, in the last couple of weeks. People have been niggling him, getting into him, and he's just been way off his game. I mean, he's had a couple of poor scores in a row up against Carlton this week, so you'd maybe think someone like Carrazzo or one of their taggers will go to him if he does play. But I guess the only positive being the Friday night game, we'll at least know, you know, right at the start, we don't have sort of hold a trade just in case he is or isn't out and we don't miss out on something elsewhere.
I don't know if I'd never pick him again. It's probably shouldn't say that because I'm a Geelong supporter. But yeah, Dunny's probably hit the nail on the head in the sense that they've got him figured out. Generally, you send the tagger to somebody who has hot temperament if you can, and if they're a good player, because you're more likely to get them to spend time away from the ball doing things like punching you and, you know, just giving you verbal abuse rather than attacking the football. And Steve Johnson's probably a bit guilty of that. But having said that, he hasn't been tagged throughout the year. And, you know, Fremantle went to Johnson earlier on this year and it worked. So it makes sense for them to send the tagger back to him. It may not necessarily mean he continues to get tagged. So hopefully he turns things around. But if you have the trade and he's a good chance of being sore out this week, and we know he has a niggling back complaint, there's probably good enough reason to trade him. But, you know, we're playing Carlton this week. It is quite possible that if he does play, he could score 100.
They're also definitely going to shut down on him, though, because they do have a few defensive midfielders. So, replacements. If Rick gets into Friday night and Stevie J's laid out or they just don't name him on the Thursday, who are you looking at? I think I've already got him, but JPK at 563 seems like a pretty good bet.
Yeah, definitely is. I mean, I've had JPK for quite a while now and really, really love watching him play because I know I'm always going to get something really good out of him. One guy that I'll throw in there is being a Port Adelaide supporter. I'll throw in Travis Boak. Got Gold Coast this week. I think he should score really well. Got 162 last week against Sydney in a losing side. And he's really been trying to drag that team over the line, hence getting some pretty good Supercoach scores.
Clearly no one was running with him this week. He seems to like just go huge when no one's running with him and then sort of just get around 100 if they do put a tagger on him.
Yeah, exactly right. From memory, I didn't see anyone running with him, and I don't know that Gold Coast will send anyone to him.
I would think probably Danny Stanley might go for a run with him.
Do you reckon he'll go to Boak or will he go to Robbie Gray?
I guess that's a tricky one, and there are a few options at Port. That's why Boak does get off the leash every so often.
I mean, there's also Hartlett as well. He's starting to hit a bit of form. So, yeah, he's another one that the taggers will consider. I'd certainly take your point, though, mate. Yeah, Stanley will go to someone. It's just a matter of which one. But so Travis seems to be hitting form lately.
Nick Del Santo, somebody who's fallen from grace.
Nah. No. Yeah.
No way. He was awful on the weekend. And even before that, it's been a while since he scored hundreds. They've got a really good draw, and I hope for his owners that he does do well. But he seems well down and easily shut out of a game.
Libba's also a bit cold.
Yeah, he has been lately, hasn't he?
Also a no, or he's worth the risk?
There's a bit of a gamble, but he does have a fair bit of upside.
What about Brandon Ellis?
Yeah, he's been doing really well lately. I guess Sydney in round 23 is probably a bit of a...
Yeah, person. That's probably the thing that would probably put me off of him the most. But yeah, he's certainly been hitting a bit of form lately.
What about Barlow? How much is he worth at the moment? He's coming off a couple of big games.
Barlow's 583.
They got a bit of a tricky draw run home, but he's been in pretty good form the last couple of weeks and just seems to get it done every week.
The other guy that I picked up before when Ablett went down, Rory Sloane, he's 563. And then they have got an excellent run home with Richmond North and St Kilda in the grand final.
Wow.
Sydney actually have pretty easy run home too. St Kilda this week, Bulldogs next week, and the grand finals against Richmond. So Kieran Jack could be cheap at 505 for people who don't have cash to upgrade.
As an owner, I'd be pretty wary. Kieran just has not been performing that well of late, and Parker seems to have taken a lot of midfield points, and now Hannabury's back. So, yeah, he seems to be playing almost a half-forward role more than a 110 averaging midfielder.
Bit of a left field one for you, Mark. What about Chappie? Is he going to get another rest before the end of the year?
I doubt that that would happen. I think that the Bombers would probably love to rest him, but given the fact that we lost to Richmond on the weekend, we just have to win every game. Every game's a final from here, so there's no point resting him if we're not going to make the final.
Yeah, I mean, at 513K, averaging only 96, but he does, you know, in big games he performs, and as you say, there'll all be big games from here for Essendon.
I'd rather a pure midfielder, personally. If you're going for a forward, maybe, but yeah, just a bit of a risk with him, and I'd rather, there's plenty of pure midfielders around that 530 for 560 mark.
I think most of the absolute premium options seem to be about the 560-ish sort of mark. And then you're taking a little bit more of a punt on the guys who are a little bit cheaper than that. So based on that, would you guys still recommend trading Stevie J out if it's, say, your last trade?
Good question. I think if it's going to cover you a donut, then you probably have to.
Yeah, I think at this time of the year, you know, you're in a knockout final. You can't afford to be using one of your bench cover who's only potentially going to get you 60 or so. Got to go for it. Otherwise, you know, no point having a trade left if you're already knocked out.
And then just hope to get lucky.
All right, moving on to the next question, and it's from Jess the Five, also related to Stevie J, wanting to know whether it's better off to swing Hanley into the mids and pick up maybe a defender instead.
I wouldn't have thought so.
No, I think I'd still be looking for a mid. Just got that higher ceiling.
I think I'm in agreement with these two boys. I think a forward's probably a better bet than a defender, if anything. But still, you'd probably just take the midfielder. Moving on to the next question, and it's from QDQQ, asking whether we'd sideways Hanley to a Cade Simpson and then use the extra money to upgrade Luke McDonald or Trent McKenzie to a Sloan Award. So we assume, first up, that QDQQ has a bit of trades to play with. Based off that, is that a bit crazy to take Hanley, who's, you know, really on fire? Simpson obviously has high scoring potential with his midfield possessions in the back line, just so that you can upgrade a McDonald type who's not scoring too well to a top line midfielder.
I'm going to assume from that question that they're running with Luke McDonald or Trent McKenzie on the field.
Yeah, you'd have to assume that.
If they're playing one of those guys on the field, then maybe it's, you know, not a bad idea. If they're, I'm assuming also they've got no cash left, but, you know, just on the face of it, I probably wouldn't be trading Hanley to Simpson. But I'd say if they need to do it and get the cash, then I guess you kind of have to.
If you've got trades left, if you've got five or so trades left now and you're trying to win a final, I think this is a really, really clever move and probably an underrated move of trading out someone that's just completely maxed in value and just in Hanley to an undervalued player that's scoring quite well, to then bring in an extra premium. So I think that having Ward and Simpson in your team looks better than McDonald and Hanley.
And I think one of the things there is Ward would be pretty unique, I reckon. I don't know that many teams have got him, and he's, you know, the guy's averaging 115. Yeah, and
get this, guys. He's got Melbourne this week, so it's a pretty nice time to bring him in.
Might actually get someone to run with him for a change, though. He's been racking it up the last couple of months.
Next question is from Jeremy Andruski, and he's in a must-win final this week. He's asking whether or not we would trade in players to increase or reduce points of difference. What do you guys reckon? If you're in a league final, are you looking to increase or reduce the amount of points of difference?
It depends whether you think you're a favourite. If you think that your team is better than their team, then you should bring in people that make you more similar. Whereas if you think that their team is a bit better than yours, then you should go different. I think in general, the philosophy is you're probably better to gamble on someone different just in case your players, like on the weekend, you might have had Del Santo, Stevie J and Buddy, and they looked on paper to be better than your position, so you needed points of difference elsewhere. So I think in general, you're probably better off just going for the different players.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you there, mate. I think that's probably the good approach to take because you just don't know what your guys are going to do. Obviously, the guys you bring in have got to be good as well. Some of the guys you mentioned there, Boomer and Robbie Gray, I probably like Gray a bit more than Boomer at the moment, but I guess both of those are pretty good players.
A little bit of port bias coming in there.
Yeah, Matt.
yeah, I think I'll agree with you guys there, especially when it comes to league advice. I'm probably not the expert in winning these sorts of finals. So next question is from Dean Phelps, and he's asking about Prestia, Mark. So last week you recommended him, and Dean's actually asking whether or not he should be getting rid of him. So why don't you make the case for keeping Prestia?
The case for keeping Prestia is that you must have a lot of trades if that's the weakest spot in your team. You obviously don't have roughhead type players to worry about. And I think that there is some concern with Gold Coast just dipping right off the radar. Are they playing Port at home or away this week, Dunny?
They're at home, so it's on the Gold Coast.
Yep, and then I think they've got the Bombers down here. I think the Presto's still got some decent scores in him. So if you're sort of looking at a Brent Harvey player, I'm not sure that he's going to score a lot more than Prestia. I know that he had a bit of a poor one on the weekend and has struggled to score 100 recently, but I think he's still got some good scores left in him.
Yeah, I think guys like Prestia and I guess a few of the Gold Coast guys are just feeling that extra pressure without Gary there. Obviously, the Taggers are going to the next rung down in players, and obviously the season's just starting to get to them. I think Prestia was really good early on, but as you say, they're starting to fall away a bit.
If you look at his last six, 7, 91, 84, 123 and 59. So I can definitely understand the frustration there.
Yeah, I can understand. He's in a do or die final. So if you're not playing for the overall, and I mean the form that you outline isn't exactly ideal, you'd be worried that, I mean, if you ask Dunny, he'd be telling you that Port are looking to probably stamp a big win to build some form for finals. They'd be wanting to do that. So you'd think that Prestia's probably in for another tough game against a top eight opponent. I can understand wanting to trade him for, an out-and-out gun in the midfield. You'd be hoping that your midfielders score you, 115 each week. So if Prestia has the potential to score 60 in a final, I can understand the temptation of just locking in 55 points in a trade. But having said that, you still have two other finals to win after that, and Prestia's a good shot at turning it around because he's a midfielder and he's a solid contested player. And if you're trading from Prestia to Boomer, Boomer's been putting in some stinkers as well. So unless you have a lot of money and you can go all the way to somebody like Rockliffe, that'd probably be worth doing. But, if you're sidewaysing, essentially, you're probably picking up a player that gives you as much risk of picking up a poor score, so...
Yeah, I mean, just with Prestia there, that 123 that he had in round 19, that was his first 100 since round 14. He's averaging 84.5 over his last six, so certainly not the best form, as you said.
Yeah, that's a bit scary.
Next question is from Pat, and he's asking whether or not to upgrade Cochin or Miles, and who to upgrade to, Sloan, Ward, or Pritis.
What do you think about this one, Dunny?
Yeah, Cochin, Miles, I mean... Both of them seem to have been coming along recently. I must admit I haven't had a good look at their scores. If he was determined to upgrade one of those, I'd probably be going Sloan purely on the run home that the Crows have. However, my second best pick there would probably be Pritis. I mean, he dominated on the weekend.
Wow, he's been dominating every game. Just
exactly.
I can't believe how well he has gone in the last eight or so weeks. He's just become a really elite midfielder.
Yeah, I mean, Cochin's... he's had one bad score in his last six. So,
I think Miles
is 67. Yeah, I'm just having a quick look at Miles as well. He had a 46 2 weeks ago. But other than that, he's been, 90s and above in nearly every game. So wondering whether he's got other things he could be doing to upgrade rather than those two guys.
If your team's that set and those are your weak points, I can understand. I mean, Miles he's not a traditional, top eight midfielder. And similarly, although Cochin has been picking up form, he's averaging 103 for the year. But in the last five rounds, even though, we perceive him to have improved his form a little bit, he's only averaging 104 over the last five games as well. So you can understand the temptation to go to a player like Sloan, who, smashed out a 160 on the weekend, or a Ward who seems to score 130 most weeks. But like you guys said, it does seem marginal, and there is the potential for the trade to backfire as well. And you got two more weeks to run, so...
Yeah, if he's flush with trades, and as you say, that is his weak point, I would definitely pull the trigger on Miles to Sloan.
Yeah, I would be trading out Miles before Cochin as well. Miles has shown the ability to get some bigger scores. He's avoiding the close attention that Cochin's getting. But, I mean, Cochin is really, he is an elite premium mid, whereas Miles is still early days in his career. So I think you'd have more confidence putting Cochin out onto the field, even though he has been struggling a bit over most of the year.
All right, next question is from Darren Fowler, and he's asking how we manage the situation of Fife being a possible laid out on the Sunday.
Wow, that's tricky.
Any tips for the league players?
I don't have enough
out
trades
there
to be managing that shit.
I think that's probably the bonus of that situation is that you are, you've got two good sides there in Freo and Hawthorn, so there will be other players to pick from. yeah, if that's the case, and I think I would just hold a trade for that one if I was worried about it.
Say you're in a situation where you don't have any bench cover. If you did two trades, you could upgrade Stevie J to Rockliffe, but it meant that you were going to have no bench cover for the Sunday game. Is that something that you would still do, or would you just hold a trade off there?
Yeah, I'd probably still hold the trade, but then I'm a pretty conservative player. But yeah, that's a tough one though.
What about you, Marcus?
Yeah, I think I would hold the trade. But like I said, my instincts when it comes to leagues ain't great. So I'm more than happy to just, yeah, revert to your opinion on this one, Mark.
One other thing that I reckon is probably a positive here is that it is the last game of the round and you will have a pretty good idea to do to win a game, or you may have already actually won the game by that point, hopefully.
Yeah.
So in that case, you might be able to just run with your bench cover even though they're a bit poorer. Or, you know, if you're really lucky, and I'm sure I won't be, run with a donut.
Yeah, that's really good advice. We will have a lot of knowledge that will be one benefit if he, in fact, is a laid out. So it's the shoulder that's the problem. Is he from the...
Is it the arm or the shoulder? They were sort of saying arm on the game.
Yeah, the only thing I read said shoulder, but okay. I didn't see the game.
Okay, yeah, he was definitely really struggling. I'm pretty sure it was his left arm. I was very surprised that he played through, and if Farlan hadn't have gone down, he might have struggled to get up. I guess with Freo in such a perilous position, or in a tight position with that top four and a big game against the Hawks, they would probably think that they're going to struggle without Fifi out there.
Yeah, you would think that they're going to try their best to get him out on the field. Yeah, they want to hang on to that top four position. So next question is from Dom Dunn, and he's got Ruffy like I do, and he's got no cover. Luckily, I've got a bit of cover. But if you had no cover, who's the best replacement? Because you're forced into a trade. You got about 490K to play with, but Dom Dunn's thinking of a bit of a left field suggestion in Petrie. Keen to get our thoughts on that more alternative selection, I guess. Not many people have been very hot on Petrie. He's been struggling to even stick marks, which in the past has just been a trademark Petrie sort of thing. How do you think he's going to go in the last three games? North have a reasonable run, as we've mentioned, so far this show.
I'd really like to get Dunny's opinion here, because Dunny made the cardinal sin of Supercoach on the weekend. Do you want to explain what that was, Dunny?
Oh, you didn't need to bring it up, Mark.
I'm not letting this one slip by, buddy.
Yeah, I didn't think you would. Look, I got caught out Sunday afternoon with Mark Lacroix being laid out, had to pull the trade. Well, I didn't have to, actually. I had bench cover. I had Cameron sitting on the bench with his 58. Cameron
scored 58. You wouldn't want to trade in someone that scored lower than that.
No, you wouldn't want to do that, but hell, I did, so why not? I brought in your best friend, I believe the Ken doll is what you call him, Travis Cloak. I thought he was going to beat up on the West Coast a bit, but clearly
you
I was wrong.
Punished.
I did. He scored 34, and it's just that actually, I made some pretty bad trades this year, and I reckon that's gone down as one of the worst. Just back on this guy's question, because we don't want to talk about Travis Cloak anymore. I'm not a fan of Petrie, to be honest. His form's been way too up and down for me. I've actually got Ruff, but I'm in the nice position where I actually have trades left, and I had some cash, so I've actually traded him out. I'm looking like I'm going to go Ben McGlynn at the moment. I think he's the best available that I can afford. I watched him firsthand Saturday night, sadly, and he just tore us apart. He was everywhere.
Have you got both Gray and Boomer?
I have Gray. I don't have Boomer, and I do have Parker.
So you'd be taking McGlynn over Boomer?
I am going to take McGlynn over Boomer, yeah. I think the Swans have got a better run home.
Swans have a really, really nice run home. Yeah,
two games at the SCG certainly helps as well.
St Kilda this week. They've got Western Bulldogs next week. And for your grand final, they've got the super tough opposition in Richmond. So,
and that's at home.
Yeah. Probably one of the best of the top eight teams, and the best easily of the top four teams.
I guess if you don't have much cash, then you'd be looking at guys like Robbie Gray. If you don't already have him, he's not much more than Roughhead. Or you could even look at Buddy, who's a little bit more.
Are you a known Petrie as well, Marcus? 400s for the whole year. They've been recent, but he's had two scores under 70 in his last three games.
Yeah, nah, he is not somebody you want to be trading in for a final, because you're basically doing it on the hope that he gets a big one, but you know, in reality, like what you said, he's only hit 400. So what you're really doing is signing yourself up for a very unlikely shot of what you're actually hoping for. You're much better off going for a top four team, playing a non-top eight team, and you're going to be guaranteed that whatever player you get is going to at least score 80, probably score 100. So that's the type of player you probably want to be looking at bringing in rather than, you know, a Petrie sort of type, because Ben McGlynn could score 140 this weekend against St Kilda. It's sort of a pull a ticket out of the hat situation when you've got a top four team beating down on a non-top eight team. So look for those sorts of opportunities instead rather than taking the punt on a Petrie sort of type. If you were stuck like Dunny was, I can understand the temptation and I can understand taking that risk. But, you know, if you're trading on Friday night and you have the full suite of options available, you probably wouldn't take them unless you were desperate.
Yeah, I was desperate. There was no other players.
Yep, I can understand. And he was cheap too. And he's got GWS this week. So I'll keep my fingers crossed for you, Dunny.
Who have the Roos got left? They've got the Bulldogs this week, then Adelaide. Who's their grand final game?
Grand final is getting Melbourne. Wow, nice.
So, yeah, I think that Harvey is potentially a better selection than McGlynn, or at least as good.
Yeah, I think Harvey's a pretty good selection. The risk with Harvey is that he gets tagged. So if he puts in 160 in the next three games, you're probably overall better off going somebody who doesn't get tagged. But Harvey also has the potential to go 140, 140, 140, which would be pretty great.
And McGlynn does have some durability concerns. I know he's already missed games this year at some point.
I probably like Harvey ahead of McGlynn, but that's just because I'm in the situation where I need to be a little bit greedy in order to win my cash league games. But if I'm in the situation where I just needed a safe player, I would probably pick McGlynn instead of Harvey, because Harvey could put you at risk of losing a league game if he scores a 60.
Can Dalhouse turn it around? He's a bit cheaper than Ruff.
He's had pretty good season, but he's also had a few down games, I think.
Well, he only had 74 last week. I would have liked a little more out of him last week, but...
The options are pretty thin if you have to go cheaper.
Yeah, there's not much there. I mean, directly below Ruff, you've got Dusty, but I think just about everyone's got him anyway.
He seems reasonably obvious if you didn't.
Well, all if right. you weren't playing in the final this week, you probably wouldn't have to trade this week.
No, exactly.
Yeah, so you'd only be looking at bringing in a player probably if you're in a must-win situation. So maybe we can take a look at a team that's playing an easy opposition this week who's under that 490 mark. Is there anyone who's playing particularly attractive opposition?
Well, Swans have got St Kilda. Craig Bird's 440,000 and averaging nearly 90 for the year, getting a fair bit of midfield time.
What do you think of Taylor Walker versus Richmond?
Rents.
At home?
Walker's very up and down. I mean,
yeah.
If it's a must-win final and you need someone to pull a hat out of the bag, his form's been all right over the last couple of weeks, so potentially he could win it for you.
Maybe Travis Cloak.
He does have GWS.
He has GWS this week. Look,
he does. And I think they've got a good one next week.
Recommended by Dunny.
Yeah.
Look, I hope he comes out and scores 150 just to make it up to me. But
looking at the options under 490, he's probably the best free hit, I think.
Jeremy Howe might not be a terrible selection. He's coming off 112 and 110 in the last two, has 400s from the last six, and has been pretty consistent over the last, since probably round seven, been scoring quite well. Sort of locking down on the dangerous forward and running off half-back.
Carlton's defenders, tall defenders, aren't particularly great, so Tom Hawkins, just for this week, could be good. He's got Hawthorn, like I said, next week, but for this week, does play Carlton, who he scored 127 against this year already. He scored 107 against them last year. So he could be a decent if you're needing to win that game this week.
And they got Brisbane at home in the final, I believe, haven't they?
Yes, we do. All right. I think that's enough options for Ruffy. Next question is from Jay Cartwright or McClunge Magnet on Twitter. Brilliant. If you could get rid of one, Stevie J or Ruffy, and you had to get rid of one this week, who would you guys pick out of those two to trade out?
Stevie J, if he's actually injured, that would worry me more than Ruff, who we know is not injured and will come back and be fine for the final 2 weeks. That's probably the way I'd look at that.
Totally agree with that, mate. And also, you can probably get a better scorer in the midfielder in the midfield for that price than you could in the forward line.
Both make very good points there, so agree with you 100%. And to the last question for the week, and I'm going to put you guys on the spot, but just quick PODs for each line, if you could rattle off four for us, that could win you a must-win final this week. Who are your hot tips? Mark, why don't you kick us off?
Dude, that's way too difficult.
Too hard?
That's very difficult.
How about Marcus?
Malcheski.
That's a very interesting question. How about you go first?
Yeah, come on, Marcus.
Okay. How about Malcheski in the back line? Brockley's really expensive, but if you can get to him, he's got Collingwood this week, and he should smash out another huge score.
Gee, really gone out on a limb, man.
Thanks, Mark. We go Rocks. We go Port Adelaide playing Gold Coast. I think they'll, like I said, I think they need to win a big one this week, so I'm going to put Lobi out on a limb there. And out in the forward line, going to go with Collingwood against GWS and give Travis Cloak a big game. That's my four.
Yeah.
What do you guys reckon? Who's your four, Mark?
I'm going to go with a couple of people that we've actually mentioned on the podcast recently. In the back line, Paul Duffield, with Freo needing to win. I think he'll keep his significant role going. In the midfield, I mentioned him last week, Steel Sidebottom, and he churned out 145 in a loss against the Eagles. Seems to do all right in their losses, actually. And in the forward line, we've sort of been talking about how difficult it is to pick the cheapies, so I mentioned Jeremy Howe, and I'm going to, save for him. And really, realistically, Rocks, I doubt people are trading in the Rocks this week.
Donny, can we put you on the line for a bit?
You can. I mean, would you call Harry Taylor a point of difference?
That's a fair point of difference, mate.
Not sure that I'd have the big ones to go with him, but why not? Rucks, I think I'd have to agree with you and say Lobi would have to be a pretty good point of difference and someone that you could consider up forward. Ah, Stephen Motlop maybe could get off the chain. And as for the midfield, I don't know that Pritis is a point of difference. I think it's probably in a few teams now.
I think he's a significant point of difference. I haven't come up with anyone with him.
Okay, well, I've had a few against him, so maybe I've just been real unlucky. I actually lost a knockout game in one of the other forms of the game on the weekend because of Pritis.
Pritis is a good one because Essendon, when they do well, they like to win the contest as well. So Essendon and West Coast both should be pushing that contested style play, which should suit Pritis's scoring perfectly. Chuck in another midfield POD, Callan Ward, who we've mentioned against Melbourne. He should be in for a big one as long as something drastic doesn't happen. So hopefully this show was of some help for you, and a huge, huge thanks to Dunny for joining us
again. Thanks, man.
No worries, guys. Thanks for having me, and any time.
That's all for this week. We'll catch you again next week, and all the best in your must-win finals. And for the rest of you lucky guys with a week off, enjoy it. See ya.
Yeah.
See you guys. Good luck, everyone. Yeah.